as a taxi driver. And he says, guys, I hope you can tackle this issue some night because I'll be listening in my taxi. I'm on the road 7 nights a week and I think it's time to take young drivers off the road at night. They cause nothing but trouble. I see them driving around recklessly with all their mates packed into the car. They speed. Many of them are driving after smoking weed. I don't know how he knows that. Actually, I've had two incidents. So this is how he knows. I've had two incidents with groups of young fellas in cars. When I went up to them, the smell of weed coming out of their car was ridiculous. There's no reason for them to be on the road at night unless they're cruising for trouble or speeding around showing off. Take them off the road after 9 p.m. and make the road safe for the rest of us. Taxi driver Billy in Cabra. And when we got this message from him, we decided to look into it. And believe it or not, this was something that was mentioned and touted a couple of years ago by Shane Ross, the former transport minister. Now, when he said it, I don't think he was actually transport minister. I think it was following his appointment. So he said that young people should be banned from driving at night. He said that restricting driving times for young drivers could lead to a reduction in road deaths. Mr. Ross said that it was statistically undeniable that people between the age of 17 and 30 have more accidents and are more reckless, particularly young females. Or sorry, young males, he said. Sorry, that was he said he didn't say females. I want to hear from you. 087-188-0008. 087-188-0008. We already have the switch. I'm looking at it here. It's hopping here and the messages are hopping and you want to get in on this and I'm going to give you your say. And I'll start with Roisin, actually. How are you, Roisin?
Not bad, how are you?
You're not at Squitcherin tonight, are you?
I'm not. I'm lying in my bed here.
There you go. That's the thing to do. Yeah, what do you make of this? You think it's unfair, do you? The very thought.
I think it's very unfair. I think it's very unfair to give the youth their freedom and then go, by the way, you've got 2 steps, but we're going to take you back 10. Like, that's very unfair to take that away from them. Like, at the end of the day, we all know, we all went through that phase. We all got excited when we got our first car and we were gone day and night. The novelty of that soon wears off and I just think it's very unfair to pick it on the young people. Like, I don't know if you've seen today there, Jeremy, on social media, there's a video doing the rounds of a lollipop lady somewhere in Dublin. And she's out in the middle of the pedestrian and she's stopping everyone and a car drove right through her.
I can guarantee you that
wasn't someone aged between the age of 17 to 21.
No, it probably wasn't. And I mean,
that's dangerous driving. If she had hit somebody, that's dangerous driving.
But what Billy is saying is that as a taxi driver who's on the road, what he's saying is there's young fellas going around in full cars, 5 young fellas in the car. Some of them are smoking weed. I don't think all of them are smoking weed. But there's no reason for them to be on the road at that hour of the night.
But then don't take their freedom off them. Employ more Gardaí and more road traffic cars. Don't take the freedom off the young people. At the end of the day, we were all young. We all went out and we enjoyed ourselves. There's many a person now that will turn around and tell you that they went out tours, they didn't come home till Sunday. And fell into work Monday.
Okay, let me ask you a question, Roisin. I'm just playing devil's advocate here. Let me ask you a question. Why would 5 young fellas need to be out in the car together now?
Because it's called socialising. It's called being out with people. Jeremy, you don't know. There might have been one of those 5 that needed that bit of socialising mentally, that needed that little bit of joy of the day, had probably been working all day with a heavy head, mentally not able for life. And needed to have that outlet of being with somebody, being with his friends, and being out and about. I don't believe for 1 minute you should take your freedom off the young people
Did they need to do it in the car?
Jeremy, why not? Is there infrastructure there for them to do anything else?
Well, they could sit in the house, I suppose, or...
Oh, yeah. Really? You're going to restrict them back to the house after they've been restricted for nearly, 3-4 years with COVID? I don't think so. I've seen it with my young girl... My eldest girl, sorry, she was only in 5th class when COVID hit. She lost out on so many opportunities with her 6th class to go away to the Grail Talks, a rite of passage for every child.
I get that. She missed out on
the transition. Sorry?
Oh, no, I get that we all missed out on stuff, but five young fellas driving around, in it, and this is what people believe, that if a car crash happens and the car has five young fellas in it, that you're going to have fatalities with that. This is all about just keeping the road
Hold
safe.
Hold on here for a minute, Jeremy. How many fatalities happen on the motorway every day?
Yeah.
How many fatalities happen with people who are stressed and tired from work, who are out on the road 24/7 and could tell you that they could drive the country blindfolded and fall asleep behind the wheel of the car in their 30s and 40s. And wipe other families. Like, we had that poor family there, Jesus, at Mayo, the wife and the two daughters in the car. Wiped out. That wasn't a young family. That wasn't a young person crashing into them.
Yeah, no, I get that. It's not always young people. And you think they're... Well, stay there for a second, Roisin, because the next call that we're going to talk to, John, well, it says on my screen here, all young people are drinking and driving and doing drugs. John, do you believe... he's gone. Sorry, if you can get him back, please. He was on hold for too long. Stay there for a second, though, Roisin, because I want to go to Trish. Trish, how are you? You're on Ireland's Classic Hits Radio. How are things?
Oh, hi, Jeremy. Nice to talk to you. And I couldn't catch that young lady's name.
Roisin. Roisin is her name.
Hi, Roisin. Yeah, I hear exactly what Roisin is saying. But I'm not sure. I know for a fact I'm on the, for example, on the M50 twice a day, 6 days a week. And what I see on the M50 is absolutely frightening. I had four young guys at the traffic lights the day before yesterday and asked me to go for a race against them. And they were completely nuts. And he kept revving the car. Totally intimidating me.
Now, sorry, I'm going to explain this just so that everybody hears. Explain this from the start.
So he asked me to race him in his little tin can. About, I don't know what he was driving. It was irrelevant. But I saw him coming up behind me and he was flashing his lights because I was doing 100. He wanted to go faster, so I moved over. And he pulled down his window and said, I'll race you.
That is bizarre. But is that not an isolated incident?
I've got this about, I'd say, in the last year, three times.
Young fellas egging you on to have a race with them. Jesus Christ.
Yeah. Yeah. And listen, I guess we all learn to drive. I learned to drive in Knock Airport on the runway, that's how old I am.
It's a great place. Great place to learn how to drive now, in fairness, on the runway.
Great place. Yeah. Yeah. But, and I agree, young people have to have a life. But number one, I think no one should drive on the M50 unless they have a full licensed driver beside them because they don't have the experience.
Well, they're not
supposed
to,
yeah. And a lot of crashes on the M50 are caused by young people who are inexperienced. And that's a fact. You ask any fire brigade, you ask any ambulance driver, the majority is younger people.
Okay, let's put that to Roisin because she wants to get back in there. Roisin, Trish doesn't have a good opinion of young drivers, clearly.
Now, I'll give my honest opinion on this, right? I was only ever in, and I thank God and I touch wood, I was only ever in one very bad car accident where my car was a complete write-off, and when my car was towed off, the garage that accepted the car thought I was dead because it was that little of my car left. That was caused by a 40-odd-year-old gentleman who didn't see other cars coming up behind them and shot out in front of all of us. That wasn't caused by a young person. I drove from Carlow to Dublin for easily about 3 years, day and night. I worked in Dublin, I lived in Carlow. Not once did I have any other incident or anything like that. And I think what's wrong with this and what's wrong with driving at the moment is the skills aren't being taught properly. You aren't being told about dangerous driving or how to drive in the snow, and they're not shown enough of the far side of it. They're not shown enough graphic images from accidents. They should be brought into a class. Everyone who was learning to drive should be brought into a class and shown fatalities, shown the outcomes of it, shown the outcomes of being stupid behind the wheel. We all can be stupid in every walk of life. We can all drink to excess. We can all take drugs to a dangerous level, but you have to have respect. And I think if you take away the driving...
Well, sorry for cutting across you, Roisin. The young fellas that have been egging Trish on for a race, they don't have respect, do they, Trish?
But this is a problem.
Yeah.
A car is a weapon.
100%. What you've just said there, 100%. In secondary school, I think there should be like a driving school where people come in and show you the rules of the road, show you the fatalities. In Australia, had all these campaigns, and they had on billboards. Yeah. I live in Australia, yeah. And serious fatalities and serious accidents. And a lot, I see it all the time. And it's young people. Now, there are a few older ones, they're a culprit for mobile phones, still texting. Okay. But the majority, which I hate to say, because I love to see young people driving, and it's great, because we all have to learn how to drive. But they just respect the roads. They just respect rules. There's people still driving out there with no insurance. There's people driving out there with, you know, you could go on and on about, and I even think I have friends who haven't got their license yet. They're not the best drivers. And there's a reason why you do a test. If you fail your test 3 or 4 times, you shouldn't be allowed on the M50. You shouldn't be allowed.
I agree with you. I find it bizarre that people who fail the test, and again, it's a conversation for another night, could do it tomorrow night, about people who fail the test can be let back on the roads. Now, John, I have you there now. Are you there?
Good evening, Jeremy. How are you?
Well, I'm good. Now, what do you want to say about this? Well, the message or the note on my screen says you believe that all young people are drinking and doing drugs. What when they're driving?
Well, not all of them, but a vast majority of them, the majority of them are. I seen it in town over the weekends.
Sorry, can you speak? It's very, very hard to hear you, John. Can you speak a bit clearer into the phone, if you don't mind? Thanks, Emil.
It's a tough one, really, because not every single person who's young is irresponsible on the roads. But at the same time, there are people, young people, who are regularly getting cocaine, cannabis, and drinking. And you see it a lot around Cork when they're being pulled over the side of the roads. So
and they have cocaine in their system or weed in their system.
Yes, yes, yep.
And that's not every young driver.
Well, not every young driver. I'm not saying it's a problem that with every single young driver, but it is readily on the increase. So,
but that's right across different ages. That's not just the youth. Like I follow an awful lot of those Garda pages on Facebook and Instagram, and you can be guaranteed if they put the age group up of people they caught underneath the influence and speeding, you can be guaranteed. And that's why I'm standing up for the youth. I'm in my late 40s, heading for my 40s. I'm not young, so I've nothing to gain from this. But I just think if you take away their freedom, they're going to retaliate anyway. But like, why not just let them learn things the hard way and educate from the get-go? I just think it's becoming too much of a nanny state. And like, education is power. We don't drive under the influence. You see what happens. And it takes...
I have to cut across. That's a cop-out. People do not need to be educated in the fact that it's wrong to drive your car with cocaine or weed on you. That you don't need
some
classes.
Some people need to see Jeremy brutally. Some people need to learn brutally rather than be told the fact, look, you can't drive under the influence. That's a given. You can't walk under the influence. That's a given. People still do it. And it's like your previous topic. You're saying about kids hanging out in the streets at all ages, and then you're saying, my child won't do that. That, again, is education and knowledge, and it's being a better person. And again, this has to come from the root. It has to come from the foundations. If you get children from secondary school and teach them the pure dangers, every car and motorbike and vehicle, tractor, truck, whatever, they're weapons. They're not cars. They're weapons. You can kill somebody with this. I had my husband drive up and down to Dublin every day in a really stressful job. He had really bad high blood pressure to the point where when he drove to the doctors, the doctor thought he ran in and said he was so close to having a heart attack. And my first response was, give me the car keys. You are not driving because you will not wipe out another family.
Now, the best of nighttime talk. Please don't text or call, as you will be charged.
Ireland's Classic Hits Radio.
You're listening to Nighttime Talk.
With Recruit.ie, Ireland's new online job search. Search for your dream job today on Recruit.ie.
Ireland's Classic Hits Radio.
John, a lot of people are messaging, I'm just looking at the message, saying that you were literally branding every young driver with the same brush.
No.
Well, yes.
No. Well, look.
Well, you're saying... You're saying that, what did you say, the majority of young drivers that are pulled over where you are, so that are pulled over
I've
where
seen
you
them
are
over the earth.
Have cocaine in the
I've
system?
Seen, I've seen over the earth. I've seen it. Like, I mean, you have people who have up where I used to live before, which I won't say. You had people who were coming back from parties with cocaine on them and no driving cars. Now, I do believe it should be a three-strike rule, because I think it would be inherently unfair to take away young people's rights straight away. You know?
Okay, stay there for a second. Let me go to Eddie, because you've been holding patiently. How are you, Eddie?
All right, Ger.
Good to talk to you. How are things?
Not too bad. You well?
Good. I'm good. Now, what do you make of this? Young drivers, right. Are they all being branded unfairly?
Okay, Jeremy. If I give a kid, a five-year-old, an Easter egg, right? And I say to them, now don't eat all that, and I turn me back. What are they going to do?
Well, they shouldn't be eating an Easter egg in May. So
they're going to eat it all. They're just going to keep eating it all, right? And this is an analogy for you, because I know you like your
analogy. I love my analogy.
So you have an 18-year-old to 21, and he passes his test, a young lad. And he gets in a high-performance car, like a BMW, America, Golf GTI. What's he going to do? He's going to speed.
Yeah, but
right?
very few of them have that high power.
He's going to speed. Do you know what I would do?
Go on.
For anybody, doesn't matter what age you are, when you pass your driving test, for the first 2 years, you're not allowed to drive anything bigger than a 1.2 engine. Until you get to learn how the speed of the car, the way the car goes, the whole lot. And that cut out half of that. Secondly, you cannot pass your test without doing about two or three, possibly even more, lessons on a motorway. You have to have lessons on a motorway. Simple as that. How that's not enforced now, I just don't get it, you know?
But are you claiming that? Because are you claiming that young drivers are driving high-performance cars? How would they get insured on a high-performance car?
I see it all the time. I see it all the time. Young lads I know that I coached at football for years, and they're 20, 21 now, and they're driving Golf GTIs and Beamers because they're like sparks and plumbers, so they have a few bob, and they just rally the shit out. Because they're young, and that's what you do when you're young. I'd cut all that out. I'd cut all that out. I mean, even the likes of Boximo with the insurance, you can only drive so far. I'd even put limiters in cars. I just don't understand how we're producing cars that will nearly go 200 kilometres an hour when the speed limit's 120. You're just asking people to break the law. Lower the speed limits of these cars that they're making, and it would make a hell of a difference to lives on the road. Because that braking speed, that extra 10 kilometres, that could be another 50 feet braking distance. I'm telling you now, we shouldn't be building cars that are like bloody Formula One cars now. I got left for dead on the road the other day by a Prius. There's these electric cars, the speed of them off the go, like, and I was in about 100, and I'd say he was going about 140.
I know,
and he
it
just
is.
Left me for dead.
It is ridiculous. It is.
We shouldn't be building cars. You're asking people, if you give someone something and it'll go twice the speed of the road, they're going to break the law. So simply just knock 50, 60 kilometres off these cars.
Isn't there a car insurance company that will give younger
drivers...
Yeah,
Boximo.
That's what they're called. They give you cheaper insurance if you put a limiter in your car or a monitor in the
car. Exactly.
Is that the way it works?
Yeah.
Yeah.
And everyone, you either have this box in your car for the first 2 years, or else you're not allowed to drive bigger than a 1.2 engine. Because I see it all the time. And you see lads going in, failing the test.
But even with a car... Yeah, but Eddie, even a car with a 1.2 engine can still go 130, 140 kilometres an hour. It just takes longer to get there, but it can still go that fast. That's not going to be...
Not if you have four or five lads in it, it won't.
Well, yeah, I suppose.
It'll barely get to 100.
But why do you...
You
think,
know what I mean?
Why do you think lads are out in cars at this hour of the night driving around with four and five of them in the car?
I done it as a kid. It's just a rite of passage. It's just what you do as a young lad. You're young, impressionable. You want to show off your mates. I was the one that didn't have me driving license. And there was one in our group that did, and he got a car. And we spent all our time in it. It was a little Nissan Micra he had. And we thought it was the bee's knees, because it was the only car that all the lads could get in, you know? And he just used to drive. Now, he didn't rally it, but I'm sure there would be people who would show off with their mates in the car. But, that's just a rite of passage. We all done it.
I agree, but some of us did do it and didn't come home that night. That's the sad truth. Thanks for talking to us, Eddie. Damien, I'm going to come to you in a second because I want to go to Garrod first, because you are a driving instructor. Is that right, Garrod?
That's right, yeah.
I'd love you to take... you know what I'd love you to do, actually? To take our Colm and Lucy out some morning and see which one... genuinely, see which one of them would pass the test. Do you listen to the show in the morning?
I do, yeah.
Who would you say out of the two of them? Now, from listening to Colm and Lucy, who would you say would pass and who would fail the test?
You wouldn't know until you got them in the car, but I'd say probably Lucy.
Now, I've been in the car with both of them as a passenger, and I've driven both of them. And I hope they don't hear this now. They won't. Nobody is to text them in the morning and tell them about this conversation. I have to say, I think Lucy is the better driver. I just found Colm a bit, erratic. He was a bit erratic.
Erratic, yeah.
Erotic now, erratic, when he was driving the car.
Not gangbanging.
Not into gangbanging there, Colm. Gave that up in the 70s, he did. But I'd love to put the two of them to the test. I'd say even I couldn't pass the test. But what do you say, as a driving instructor, you are teaching people of all ages to drive. Is it across the board then, the reckless driving?
It's right across the board, Jeremy, and as regards like young people, the thing is, once they pass that driving test, they're entitled to be on the road. There should be no restrictions. The problem is enforcement. And I see, like even bringing out young students and they bring out elderly students, I don't mean too elderly, but for some of them in their 40s and some of them in their 50s, I see other drivers on the road. They're not young people. Some of them are, some of them aren't. But complete dangerous driving. There is no traffic police really enforcing the laws on the road. You see them blocking yellow boxes. These are people with full licences. They do not follow the rules of the road at all. It's not just young people. And if they pass the test, they should be entitled to be on the road. Now, I think all the statistics are being bandied around because on your show there a couple of weeks ago, and I think it was with Niall Boylan, they came up with these statistics that 70% of fatalities were caused by learner drivers unaccompanied. So that left 26% caused by drivers that weren't accompanied by a full licensed driver. When they questioned Niall on that to get the proper research, it turned out that only 6% of all fatal fatalities were caused by learner drivers. And out of that 6%, 74% to 6% were unaccompanied learner drivers. So the figures are being bandied. So that meant, if you think about this logically, 6% of fatalities were caused by learner drivers. That's 94% of fully licensed drivers that have caused fatalities in Ireland.
Jeez, I have to be honest with you, Garrod, at this hour tonight, you've thrown a lot of figures on me. I'm trying to write them down to keep up.
They were actually figures from your own researcher.
Okay.
And it came from Jack Chambers that. But he manipulated the figures to try and blame it on learner drivers. So when the actual figures, and you can look at your research there, and you can show that only 6% of the fatalities are caused by learner drivers, which means 94% are caused by fully licensed drivers. So this is like a witch hunt against young drivers and learner drivers.
Do you not think young drivers deserve the bad reputation that they have?
I don't. Not the people I'm. The people I'm teaching, I would say they're very attentive to the teaching and the learning that I'm giving them. They listen to everything. I mean, I have a very good success rate as well. I mean, I have about 98% success rate in the driving, going with the driving license. I find the young people, and all my students actually, they're very attentive because they want to learn. Now, what they do after that, you're going to get good and bad everywhere. Like you might just get your license and fly out of the test centre to do a handbrake or something. But that's way in the minority. But, I mean, you get an older person doing that as well.
Yeah, I mean, yeah, a lot of people believe, they always say, oh, the older people are the... and I'm going to say something here, and maybe I'm wrong, maybe you can correct me if I'm wrong. I have found, from experience and from talking to friends who work in pubs, and I've worked in pubs and clubs for years. In my experience, it is the older people who will drink and drive now. It's people 40 plus, 50 plus, 60 plus that will drink and drive, not the young fellas. Is that fair to say?
I would agree with that, yeah, definitely. From my own experience and being in pubs, I would say that. I've seen a lot of old people in the 40s, 50s going over a few points and then just driving home. I mean, you see the car parks in the pubs full. They're not all.
They're not all drinking my waddy.
They're not all drinking my waddy. You can see that we can. There used to be a pub in my area, and they used to set up a checkpoint outside it, and the right outside the car park, and half the cars be left there overnight.
I know it is. It's a huge, huge problem. And again, never a checkpoint out there. Garrod, thanks very much for talking to us. And again, we're going to hold you to that. We will get you to test Colm and Lucy sometime. Yeah,
that's no problem.
Are you based in Dublin, by the way?
I'm based in Tala, yeah.
You won't get Lucy to leave the city or even the county of Dublin. So we'll get them out one day. We'll get them out one day and see how many bad habits that they've taken up. Yeah.
That'd be no problem at all. And I actually look forward to it.
Thanks very much, Garrod. Jane, will you make a note of that? Because I'll forget. Sorry, what? What are you doing? Sorry, Jane's busy on her phone. Sorry, is the show boring you, Jane? She's busy on Instagram or something like that. Two more calls on this. Let me go to Damien, because you've been on hold for yonks. Damien, how are things? Good evening. You there, Damien? Well, he's on hold for so long, he hung up with me. David, how are you?
I'm very good. Derek, how are you going? Yes, I'm good.
Thank you for not hanging up on me. Thank you.
Well, no, I've only just been wrong. Garrod, obviously, he's a very good driving instructor.
Yes, he is. Yes.
He is way out of the norm, because if you look up on the website, 53% of Irish drivers pass their driving test. 47% fail their driving test, which, you know, if you had a situation in schools where the leaving cert or the junior cert, if 53% of students were passing, there would be questions asked, I suspect. If that's relevant to say.
Should we be given? Do they get lessons in school now? I don't know, because I mean it's been.
I would say the sooner you start, the better. You know, there is absolutely no reason. They did this over in the UK. Actually, they had 12-year-olds and they took them out and they, you know, took them to somewhere private, where they could actually get them driving, and they did, and that was, they got him one of the driving TV programs to do it, Tiff Nadell, I think it was, or whoever, and it was very successful. It improved things tremendously. Anyway, no, obviously Garrod at 98% pass rate with his students is fantastic, and that's what it should be about. Got a 53% pass rate. When you said 6% of drivers, learner drivers or whatever, involved in accidents, that's 6% of a very small number.
I didn't say that. I didn't have any of those figures, actually. I think that was...
Whoever it was who said it. It was 6% versus 94% of licensed drivers. That's 94%, which makes up like 3 million people. And then 6%, which is from a group of, probably, I don't know how many, how many provisional licensed people at any one time in Ireland, but that's, they are obviously a very small group, relatively. So that 6% is above the norm for drivers, if you get my drift.
I kind of, yeah. Well, I probably at 9 o'clock I would have been able to pick up all these percentages. People are just texting me in percentages. No, I get the point you're trying to make. What age are you, if you don't mind me asking, David?
I'm nearly 65. Yeah,
you're what?
I'm an old guy. I'm 65, nearly 65. I'm an old kid.
There's no way you're 65, are you?
Oh well, I was born in 59. You work.
Jeez, I thought you. This is a compliment, okay? And very few people get compliments from me. I thought you were about 38 or 40 or something like that. You sound like a young fella.
I was 40 43 when I gave up work back in 2003.
I was about to say you're a boy racer. I thought you were young for that. Jesus Christ, you're the
Well, no, my family would be boy racers. You know, my uncle, he designed and built racing cars.
Oh, no way. Okay. And do you remember what your first car was that you bought? It was probably the Model T Ford, was it? You're so old. I'm only joking.
It was just after that. It was a white Fiat 127, NGU 627.
Sorry, Andrew, I wanted because you're obviously a lot older than me, so I want to Google about the car. What's a Fiat? What?
127.
127, yeah. Let me go.
It was NGU 627L.
Hey, what, you give me the reg plate of it? Is it the reg plate of it? Oh, my God. Yes. I remember that car, the Fiat 127. A huge car back in the 70s and the 80s. Our neighbour actually, our neighbour had one of them parked outside the house and used to let us sit in the car and do all sorts of stuff in the car. It was great. It was great. It was lovely talking to you, actually, David. Because the reason I'm asking you that is I'm going to ask you in a second. I can't believe what age he is, by the way. I'm going to ask you what your first car was, if you can remember what it was. Jane, can you remember your first car? Oh, sorry, the car, you won't be going on the show. The car Jane drives now at the moment is the first car she's ever owned, which is ridiculous because she's in her 40s and, like, who has their first car in their 40s?
Now, the best of nighttime talk. Please don't text or call, as you will be charged.
Ireland's Classic Hits Radio.
Now, the best of nighttime talk.
Ireland's Classic Hits Radio.
Please don't text or call, as you will be charged.
And I'm wondering tonight, what are your feelings on smoking? Now, I'm what they call an ex-smoker, so I tend to be completely intolerant of them because I gave them up many, many years ago. I thought I had saved myself the respiratory problems that go with a lot of these things, but recently I was diagnosed with COPD and I've had asthma most of my life. And there I was inhaling a Ventolin inhaler and smoking 40 cigarettes a day at one stage of my life. Now, I've given up the smoking, but it's had a life-changing effect on my respiratory system, as the respirologists have told me. So, but what are your views? Like, do you smoke? Do you still fork out all that cash? And it's huge money now for 20 cigarettes. Or do you rely on friends coming back from the likes of Spain and Portugal to bring you back the cheaper cigarettes? Or friends coming from the UK now that they're no longer in the EU to bring you back cheaper cigarettes? Or are you vehemently opposed to smoking? Do you have somebody in the house who smokes? Does it annoy you? Has it caused challenges in relationships? Whatever it might be, we'd love to know. Give us a shout. You can WhatsApp us on 087-2508-400. Also tonight, should the Gardaí be allowed to use additional force in extreme situations where lives are endangered, without having to worry about repercussions where they could end up facing criminal charges? And I suppose on a more general level, why are the Gardaí getting such bad press, particularly since COVID? Before then, there was a pretty high tolerance of the work of the Gardaí and the individuals who are members of an Garda Síochána, but it appears to have literally collapsed, that there's very, very little support for the Gardaí. In fact, there seems to be an innate hatred creeping in around the impression most people have of the Gardaí. Or is it most people? Is it still a minority? I can't say it is because I see it pretty much every day. I was arriving there at the station last week. There was a gig on in Three Arena. And it was one of these rappers, very, very popular, and a very, very young audience. I'd say the average age was probably about 16. As young as 12, 13, as old as maybe 22, 23. And the Gardaí were fishing out those who were drinking out of paper cups, drinking gin, wine, vodka, whatever, Jägermeisters, you know, you name it. And they were taking the cups out of the kids' hands. These kids were as young as 12 and 13. Half of them were absolutely paralytic. They were falling on the ground. They were so drunk. And they were just giving the two fingers and the middle finger to the Gardaí, and they were shouting abuse at them. The air turned blue with the language, and they just didn't care. They didn't care about the repercussions. There were no repercussions. The Gardaí literally moved on to another group of people looking for drink and looking for drugs. So is there a level of intolerance there now? Are people just sick of the Gardaí? And in the light of the incident in Newtown Mount Kennedy in County Wicklow there last Thursday night, I don't know whether you've heard the story, but it's breaking in the last 24 hours that an image showing a row of Gardaí standing in front of a large crowd of people waving banners and Irish tricolour flags is not from the protests in Newtown Mount Kennedy or anywhere else for that matter. It's an image that has been generated by AI. artificial intelligence. And Newtown Man Kennedy in County Wicklow has been the site of numerous protests in recent weeks after locals opposed plans to house asylum seekers at a disused site nearby. This is River Lodge. It used to be known as Trudder House. Four people appeared in court after protests at the site last week. Now, while there are numerous real images and videos of protests in the area, take a look at the Journal, because you'll see a copy of the photograph, and I'm actually reading some of the coverage on this AI image from a report in the Journal yesterday evening. It's been shared hundreds of times on social media platforms. The line of Gardaí in the image, they're all wearing light blue and navy jackets, which real-life Gardaí don't wear. And the Gardaí modern soft-shell jacket, which appears to be the closest match, instead has a high-vis yellow top, which the Gardaí don't wear. The Gardaí do wear, but they don't wear the light blue and navy jackets. Doesn't exist. And although six of the seven Gardaí in the image have Garda written on their backs, the writing and spacing differ from uniform to uniform, with some letters squashed together, while some have these large gaps after the word. And the remaining Garda, shown at the far left of the image and partially cut off, doesn't have Garda written on his uniform, but rather has some letter-like symbols, typical of a sort of an unsuccessful attempt by AI to generate a word. And it goes with the whole surge in the agitators who turn up at these occasions. So you've got a wealth of well-meaning protesters who are protesting peacefully, but then the agitators have another idea. They turn up, and as also happened there, there was a couple of incidents over the last few weeks, particularly the one outside Minister for Children Roderick O'Gorman's house, where it's getting dark and they're wearing balaclavas and it's very difficult to see their identity, whether they're even male or female. But I don't want to get lost in the whole AI thing, but AI is now being used to rile people's anger, and also their attitude towards the establishment, whether it's politicians, because it's going to be a big feature in the forthcoming general election, possibly in the MEP elections as well. And for those of you who don't know what artificial intelligence is, it's technology that enables computers and machines to simulate human intelligence and problem-solving capabilities, OK? So the problem-solving capabilities is a very positive thing, but simulating human intelligence has its very dark side as well. And if we get a chance, we'll come to that a little later. But the question I'm asking tonight, should Gardaí be allowed to use an escalated form of retaliation? In other words, should they be allowed to use their own discretion when it comes to protecting themselves by using a stronger sense of enforcement and also to retaliate in very dangerous situations where life is endangered, OK? So it could be a spectator, it could be a journalist, it could be somebody in the protest who's peacefully protesting, it could be a member of the Gardaí. Should they have discretion in deciding when they react with force? That's what I'd like to know your views on this evening, OK? 087, I think I gave up my own phone number actually there. I did. God, I can't just think. My goodness, there's 300 missed messages on it. No, I did actually, but these things happen. Oh, 087-188-0008. That's the number, OK? Disregard the last one. 087-188-0008. Anyway, let's get back to the whole topic of tobacco. And Terry is on the line. How are you doing, Terry?
I'm good. How are you?
I'm very well, thank you. Do you know what I noticed today? New Zealand recently announced it's going to ban young people from buying cigarettes for life. It's one of the toughest approaches in the world to curbing smoking deaths. And the New Zealand government have decided that if you're aged 14, you will not be allowed. They're basically going to make it illegal to sell cigarettes to anyone who's aged 14 and under from 2027. And the ban will remain in place for the rest of the person's life. So that means that if you turn 61, that'll be the first time legally you'll be entitled to have a cigarette. Is that a bit extreme?
Well, it's a bit extreme because look at people get around it. You know what I mean? But I'm not against kind of laws coming in relation to, selling cigarettes to minors and that. Like, I was 12 when I started smoking. Mm. I was able to walk into a shop and buy one cigarette and a match, you know, and a pack of cigarettes was 15 and a half pence. And you were, sure, even when I was in school, we used to go up to the shop for the teacher cigarettes.
Mm.
So there was nothing to protect any of us as kids, like when our teacher was sending us up for, every day we were sent up for 10 silco.
Mm.
So that was what was going on. But in saying that, I smoked from the time I was 12 and I gave up the cigarettes on numerous of amount of occasions. I think from the time I was 16, I was trying to stop.
And what, do you mind me asking, what age were you when you eventually gave them up?
Eventually, 38.
Right, yeah.
Now, I stopped because of, like that, I'm asthmatic and all of that now, like, and I wouldn't have, they'd have killed me if I hadn't have stopped.
Yeah.
You know, I'm not anti-smoking. If people smoke, they smoke. Actually, sometimes if I'm walking down the road, I could hunt out the cigarette, the smell of cigarette. 100 miles away.
I could
walk past someone outside the pub or outside the shop or something and they're having a cigarette and literally I would literally crawl into their stomach after the smell of the cigarette because it's just the odd cigarette that gets me. And day I would walk past somebody that's out in the cold in the wet and the fucking smell of it tore my stomach.
Yeah.
You know, but I don't think that will ever leave me until I'm 6 months dead.
Yeah. Do you know, it's interesting.
Until I'm born.
What you said there about being able to detect the smell of a cigarette from a long distance. I was on the train the other day and I could smell cigarette smoke. And I just decided out of curiosity, this is Detective O'Callaghan here, I'd actually wander up a few carriages to see which of the bathroom toilets the individual had been smoking in. It was two carriages away.
Yeah.
And
you,
I can smell it a mile away.
Yeah. No, I can smell it because I think that's the part, that's part of the addiction. Mm. I think cigarettes is probably the biggest addiction in the world.
Yeah.
More than any other drug. I think it's the biggest drug.
Yeah.
You know, and it's an acceptable drug. That's my own opinion on it. You know what I mean? But I do think he's right bringing in laws, you know, as in, because somebody has to protect the kids.
Yeah.
No, I think, you know, New Zealand could be a bit extreme that if, you know, when you're 18, I'm not saying that you have sense, but you can kind of say whether you want to smoke or not at that stage. I think if you haven't smoked at that age, you might never smoke at that age.
Right. Just stay there. Sean is on the line. Hi, Sean. Sean, are you there, Sean? Let's see if he's on line two here. Hi, Sean. Is he there? No, he's gone, I think. Anyway, Terry, you gave it up at 38. Were there any lingering conditions as a result? Did you get anything like asthma or was it?
Yeah, I am asthmatic. And yeah. I tell you, my son is a big smoker, but nobody's kind of smokes in my sitting room.
Yeah.
One of my sons go outside and have a smoke and the other fella would smoke in his room. I'm not that holier than thou. Like, I'm not like the reformed tour that thinks everybody, like, you know, should stop because they've stopped.
Yeah.
Like, life is life. And I understand the addiction. And, sure, even if you go down to the hospitals, like, you could go outside the door and everybody that's a patient in the hospital, like is standing having a cigarette, you know. Most health people, if most people down there, like, are there basically probably more than likely, like, cigarettes have contributed to their illness.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? So it is a big a big, you know, we don't know. Look, they're big companies that run all of these things, and they kind of bombard the government, and the government makes plenty of money on taxing us and all for you to buy cigarettes. Yeah. So the government is not going to stop it neither, you know, because they're bringing in a lot of revenue themselves on it. So, you know, it's just one of them things.
Yeah. Melissa's on the line there. Stay where you are, Terry. Hi, Melissa.
Oh. Hi, good evening, Justine, listening very strongly there with a lot of opinions on what's been said.
Mm-hmm.
First and foremost, it's an EU law that came in about 2016 to the EU. Our 13 MEPs wanted Ireland to be the first smoke-free zone, might I add, for Sinn Féin MEPs all voted for that.
Yeah.
Just drop out of the sky today that I'm aware of through the European Parliament that make 75% of our rules here in Ireland. So that all started over in the EU Parliament about, you know, the non-smoking ban, and Ireland were kind of the petri dish for the no smoking, which is great. I do agree.
Yeah, well, it was
children of a certain age should not be allowed to buy cigarettes.
Ireland's classic hits.
My lover's got humour. She's the giggle at a funeral. Knows everybody's disapproval. I should have worshipped her sooner. If the heavens ever did speak, she's the last true mouthpiece. Every Sunday's getting more bleak, a fresh poison each week. We were born sick, you heard them say it. My church offers no absolutes. She tells me worship in the bedroom. The only heaven I'll be sent to is when I'm alone with you. I was born sick, but I love it. Command me to be. Amen. 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 Take me to church. I'll worship like a dog at the shrine of your light. I'll tell you my sins and you can sharpen your knife. Offer me that deathless death. The good God, let me give you my life. Take me to church. I'll worship like a dog at the shrine of your light. I'll tell you my sins and you can sharpen your knife. Offer me that deathless death. The good God, let me give you my life. If I'm a pagan,
your home of the 80s and 90s in Blarney.
Ireland's Classic Hits Radio.
Voices that
Ireland's Classic Hits Radio.
So basically we have Colm and Lucy in the morning for the crack.
Working from 6 o'clock every morning, so I love listening to Colm and Lucy.
They're like an old married couple. And no, I know they're not married to each other, but they might as well be, you know.
The home of the 80s and 90s.
Ireland's Classic Hits Radio.
It's a death row pardon, 2 minutes too late. And isn't it ironic, don't you think? It's like rain on your wedding day. It's a free ride when you've already paid. It's the good advice that you just
another hour on the home of the 80s and 90s.
Ireland's Classic Hits.
You must understand the touch of It's physical.